the story so far. Douglas Adams, a perfectly ordinary earthling, is rather surprised to discover that the way-out idea which came to him whilst lying drunk in a field has suddenly turned out to be a pretty good one. He is even more surprised when, against all probability, the BBC unexpectedly pay him to write a Christmas special. When a second series is commissioned, and the chance arises to have the words Hitchhiker's Guide inscribed in large friendly letters all over the front cover of the Radio Times, surprise is no longer adequate.
One of the great things about how Hitchhiker became what it was that it was completely free of any kind of marketing intervention whatsoever. It was simply something that was there and people found it and so it went on. By the time we get to the second series, of course, suddenly there's a bit of a hoopla around it. So this issue comes up of the Radio Times might be prepared to give us the front cover, and this is almost unheard of for radio. I mean, certainly for Radio Light Entertainment. So it's a big, big deal. So the Radio Times says, yes, we will do this, but the quid pro quo is that it's got to be a bigger event than just the beginning of a series. So what we'd like you to do to justify it being on the cover is, instead of putting it out weekly, we'd like to strip it across a week, which means, you know, it'd go out on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. And innocently, one thinks, that'll be fun.
The Hitchhiker's Guide was now big league stuff, and BBC bigwigs suddenly became as impatient as a Haganenon's chromosomes. But whereas Series 1 was able to evolve slowly and carefully over a number of weeks, Series 2 was expected to do for radio production what a hyperspace jump could have done for the British public transport system. Even by sending the scripts backwards in time through a temporal warp, the chance of Douglas writing 6 impossible episodes before breakfast was unlikely, to say the least. Stress and nervous tension became serious social problems in all parts of the production process. Even the basic materials, studios, engineers, little lemon-soaked paper napkins, were in short supply. There wasn't even time for a quick bath.
The last week, the week that the second series went out, is one of those things I keep trying to blot out of my mind at times. We'd gone into the first week having effectively finished, I think, 2 shows, and with one and a half shows, really, with sort of 3.5 shows to finish in 5 days, and the shows generally had taken about a week each to finish.
Geoffrey Perkins phoned me up and said, "You're going to die." I remember his words. Because I had just about done the music tracks, so I had them all ready, but nothing else, none of the effects, and we had to assemble the thing. Now, it's a very complicated thing to assemble, even in a sort of basic way. I believe that Douglas hadn't actually written some of the stuff by the beginning of the week before transmission, so Geoffrey had no end of nightmares.
Arsa Minor, Beta Air Traffic Control, this is AMF3 requesting homing beacon for planetfall coming to control.
I am Gaglevar. I am the custodian of the Total Perspective Vortex.
Why you want dried leaves in water? Still computing.
We've been following your progress with considerable despondency.
Yeah, look.
Not to say contempt.
Archaeologist?
Yes.
What are you doing?
Digging, researching, trying to stay alive.
Is that lot around?
Most particularly because that lot are around.